Brothers and sisters, I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus. For his sake, I accept everything as loss. I consider them so much rubbish. This wonderful, beautiful letter of St. Paul to the community of Philippi, the Philippians, this community that he loved so dearly. And as you read the entire letter, you can just see the emotion that St. Paul has for this community as he pours out his heart-filled love for them. And as he's calling them forward, he's challenging them in this section of the letter. He just before this had kind of given his credentials about who he was before he met Jesus. A scholar, well-appointed, he knew all the law, he had a great heritage and genealogy. In the world's eyes, especially in the eyes of the Jewish world, the who's who, he had it all. But once he met Jesus, it didn't matter anymore. He considered everything as a loss. He was willing to walk away and did walk away from everything that he had achieved. He considered it so much rubbish. And if you go to the original Greek, he didn't say rubbish. It was a much more basic term. I think last night I said like natural fertilizer is how he described everything. Everything that he had. So how about you? Have you gotten to that point yet? Has this Lenten season brought you so close to the heart of Jesus, the passionate Eucharistic heart of Jesus, that you could say with St. Paul that nothing else matters? Your career, your education, the letters after your name, your address, zip code, the car you drive, where you went on vacation, what your plans are, how smart your kids are, what teams they're on. What kind of clothes we wear? Do we have just the right whatever? Are you still caught in the rat race of this world of rubbish, of natural fertilizer? Or have you gotten to the point yet with so much confidence in the knowledge and the love of Jesus Christ that you count everything as lost? It's all rubbish. It's all dust. It's all fading away to nothing. And without Christ, it means absolutely nothing. Have we gotten to that point in our faith journey yet? Have we put everything behind us? For my part, I consider nothing. I forget everything that lies behind. I strain forward to what lies ahead. I continue toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. This is written by the man who, without him, we probably wouldn't be here today. The man who had achieved everything as a Jew and as an apostle, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, he had reached the pinnacle. He still said, it's all nothing. I haven't achieved anything yet. I'm still going forward towards Christ. I have not reached perfect maturity. This is an important part of that letter for us. And maybe we've been walking with the Lord for so many years, and that we never have been the prodigal son from last week. We never had to turn back and come back home. We've always been here. The risk of claiming to have reached that perfect maturity. I know the faith. I know what it takes. I'm doing all the right things. Kind of like the older brother last week. Are we so enthralled by the love of Jesus that truly nothing else matters? In the first reading, the prophet Isaiah, remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago. Don't consider them. I am doing something new. Do you not perceive it? Our Lenten fasts, The penances we do in the stripping away, the simplification of our lives, the veiling of the statues, the hiding from everything so we can focus on the one thing that Christ is doing something new in our life. Do you not perceive it? Is it so close to us? So close that we can touch it. The love of the Father is available and present for each one of us. But oftentimes, if we're honest, we have a hard time not remembering the events of the past. We have a hard time not considering the things long ago. We have a hard time to consider everything as lost, as rubbish, as natural fertilizer. We like our stuff. It makes us feel good and comfortable. It gives us meaning and importance in our lives, in the lives of the people who look at me. I even like my past, my sins, my wounds. They're kind of comfortable. I don't know how to live without the scars and the wounds of my past sins, so I'm going to cling to them. I cling to my shame. I cling to my sins as though it's my identity. And this is what is at risk with the lady in the gospel, thrown in the middle for committing adultery. I mean, we live in a very permissive, especially in the sexual realm, society. Adultery is thrown around, no big deal. Cohabitation, all the sexual sins, no big deal. But in this time, it was the worst. The absolute worst thing that could be known about this woman was now being made public. What if the worst thing that you ever did was blast on a billboard for everyone to see? How often are we like the Pharisees? To take it a step further, how often are we like the Pharisees and throwing people's worst actions and worst things out there for the world to see? We share memes, we share posts, we laugh, we ridicule the bad things that people do, the sin of calumny and distraction. The Pharisees were using this woman. She had just been used by a man in some sense. And now the Pharisees again were using her as a trap, it says. They were using this to test Jesus because they knew the law said she must die, the Jewish law, stoned to death. But if Jesus said that, then he's going against the Romans. So they were willing to sacrifice this woman's life to put Jesus to the test. The evil, the hatred, the self-love that must have been in the hearts of these men to do this to this woman. The absolute worst thing that they could have said or done about her, they did let the public know her shame. Can you imagine being in that situation? The desire to run and to hide. And sometimes we're so afraid of being made known that we do run and hide. We do cling to the past. What will Father think if I confess this sin? What will my spouse think? What will my boss think? What will my friends think if they knew the truth about me? And so we cower and we hide, clinging to the past, living back there, denying ourselves the healing power of Jesus Christ, the mercy that was on display with this woman in the gospel. I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go, a forward motion. Begin to walk in the freedom, in the truth, in the healing power of my love. Go. This is what we strive for. Nothing compares to the knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ, St. Paul tells us. Do we believe this? Have we given our hearts permission to believe and the healing, the saving power of Jesus Christ, regardless of what shameful things are in our past or shameful things are in our present, are we willing to let go of them today? This is the invitation. We're in the fifth Sunday. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and then it's Holy Week. So practice is almost over. It's really almost go time next Sunday. As we begin that day-to-day journey with Jesus to the cross, necessarily to the cross, so that we can rise with him on Easter Sunday. But if we don't take these days of preparation seriously, if we don't really allow the love of God to strip away all the falseness, all the charades, all the desire to be well-liked and thought well of, to accumulate stuff that will one day turn to dust. St. Paul is sharing his heart with us today, that he who once had it all wants nothing more than the one thing that we all need, the knowledge and the love of Jesus Christ. The Lord is doing something new. New in your hearts, new in your family, new in this parish. Do you not perceive it?